It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United Soccer is brought to you by Equifax, The Home Depot, Mercedes-Benz, AT&T, Publix, Scanum, Cuff & Tire, Lunazol, La Perea, Piedmont Healthcare, Heineken, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and Associate Credit Union.
The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, fair play to Sporting Kansas City, the new leaders on the Supporters Shield table in MLS. They get their seventh win of the season, their third on the road, and Atlanta United loses for the first time in the Benz in 2018, 2-0. And if you're just hearing the scoreline, you might kind of wonder what happened, and the explanation is very simple. Brad Guzan correctly red-carded by Mark Geiger in the 33rd minute. Denial of a goal-scoring opportunity, and SKC playing up a man for essentially the final 60 minutes of the match, able to break through for two goals in the second half, although the Five Stripes, even playing down a man, had their visitors on the ropes after Daniel Shallowy scored a golazo in the 67th minute to give SKC the 1-0 lead. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore, I think the good news, two bits of good news. Obviously, Atlanta United continued to fight through all the adversity. The other thing, Jason, you don't have much time to dwell on this because you got to turn right around now and play a very, very important match Sunday in Orlando. So maybe in a way, the schedule compression works out to help Atlanta United.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to dwell on, really. You know, when you start to look at this and you look at the way the game was playing out before the red, you know, at that point in the match, and this is roughly from looking back at it, Atlanta United had the possession advantage 54-46. They had the shot advantage 8-4. Kansas City had not yet had a shot on goal at that point. Even after the red card, Atlanta United had some moments. They looked dangerous on the break with Almiron and Barco. It's a very difficult situation playing a man down for that length of time, and especially when you have to turn to a goalkeeper in Paul Christensen who is on an emergency call-up. He's on a hardship call-up because Alec Cann and Mitch Hildebrandt weren't healthy enough to make the bench. We'll see if these next couple of days allow Cann or Hildebrandt to take the field on Sunday in Orlando.
I think we're in agreement the two goals were not on Christensen.
No. He made one big save. You know, a few mistakes in possession to be expected. It's a big moment for him. The second goal – first goal he had no chance at. Nobody's getting to that one. The second goal – Atlanta was pushing for it. They had Kansas City on the ropes. We still haven't seen a great look at a replay on that one. There were a lot of questions about offside. Never got a definitive answer. Michael Parkhurst was trying to hold up the kickoff so Geiger would take a look at it.
And by the way, I know a lot of you are getting your cars now. You're wondering why no VAR. And I think we need to remind people that in the law, VAR is to be used in an event of a clear and obvious error
even more
by
than
the
that,
referee.
Even more than that, I think some people get mixed up about VAR. VAR stands for Video Assistant Referee. It's a person who's up here couple doors down from us up here in the booth, and they are constantly talking to the referee crew. All of the referees are on headsets. They're all talking throughout the match, and even if Geiger doesn't go look at it, it doesn't mean it hasn't been discussed. He just didn't go take a look at the video. That's okay. I don't care about that situation of it. I just would have loved to have seen a better replay because
right.
We never really had a definitive one, and this is just one of those matches where you have the red card on Guzan, which was correct. You have the goal called back that Martinez scored early. It's an interesting call. I've actually been texting back and forth with a good friend of mine that's a high-level referee, and he felt like that goal could have stood, and he was wondering if we had heard anything official from the video assistant referee because the defender made an intentional play on the ball in that situation. That's where you're getting into a serious judgment call. And again, in that one, they went to VAR to look at it. They felt like it was a clear and obvious error, and then they overturned it on a judgment call. We'll see if there's any explanation that comes out of it. I'm not expecting to hear what Mark Geiger or what Edvin Jurasevic saw in that situation.
And over the course of a 34-game season, some calls are going to go your way. Some calls are not going to go your way. I think it must be said, Atlanta United has been on the friendly end of a lot of VAR this year, especially in this building. Tonight it did not work out. Again, if you're just joining us, Jason and I totally agree. Guzan was correctly shown a straight red in the 33rd minute. And when you have a goalkeeper red carded, it's very, very hard to get any kind of result. Although, if Martinez's goal was not waved off, you're up 1-0 playing down a man, and then the complexion of everything changes. Remember, Atlanta United was able to bunker for 60 minutes down a man in Minnesota, but they had the lead in that match. Anyhow, the man of the match brought to you by Heineken. Overall, Tim Melia, no doubt about it, the keeper yes. for Sporting Kansas City with the three saves tonight. But as far as Atlanta United is concerned, I thought here again a very, very solid game for Leandro Gonzalez-Perez.
Yeah, I would agree. I think LGP took his opportunities to jump into the attack when Atlanta was shorthanded. And I thought even before that, 1v1 with Johnny Russell, Sporting Kansas City's most dangerous player on the dribble, I thought LGP kept him in check throughout the match.
Yeah, Johnny Russell was subbed out late, really ineffective. LGP even created a free kick opportunity for Kevin Kratz, which put Melia in position to make one of those three big saves at the end. So LGP is our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. As we look at the statistical recap, Kansas City ended up with 17 shots, Atlanta United with 15, but seven of Atlanta United's 15 shots were on goal. Kansas City with only three shots on goal, and Melia, who had a shutout last week, 10 saves against the Galaxy a couple weeks ago, credited with seven saves tonight. SKC with 12 fouls, Atlanta United with 10. Atlanta United offside twice, once denied a goal. SKC no times offside. Atlanta United had eight corners to SKC's three. SKC with five clears to Atlanta United's two. Haven't seen a final possession number. It really doesn't matter, though, because Atlanta United playing down a man for the final 60-some minutes, that would distort the possession numbers.
59-41.
Yeah, honestly, not as bad as I thought. Not as bad as I thought.
Well, that turned from 54-46 Atlanta before the red. And I just retweeted something at Longshoe, if you'd like to take a look and maybe get a little more frustrated with the referee crew tonight.
Uh-oh, handball.
It was on the first free kick from Kevin Kratz after the Tim Melia save. Matt Beisler with a nice swat away with the left hand and arm that was not called. And that arm's out in a very unnatural position.
Yeah, it was in the six-yard box, obviously. Would have been a penalty kick.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
look, sorry, guys.
Listen, you know, somewhere Francisco Calvo is probably smiling tonight.
I'm sure he is.
He put some theories out about the league being friendly to Atlanta United in recent weeks. This happens. This is soccer. This is a 34-game season. This stuff is going to happen. You're going to get some calls. You're not going to get some calls. Atlanta United did not get the calls tonight. They're sent to a 2-0 defeat by Sporting Kansas City. We'll go through the highlights and the scoring recap right after this on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Taking a look back at our Atlanta United game.
The full-time report.
With Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, no happy rejoin music for you tonight because Atlanta United 2-0 losers to Sporting Kansas City. A huge match by their keeper, Tim Melia, and we're going to go through the highlights and the scoring summary in a moment. It is unfortunate, but we do have to go through this now because there's mounting evidence that there were some errors by some possible errors. Let me rephrase, some possible errors
judgment
by
calls.
The officiating crew tonight. Mark Geiger is a World Cup referee. I will start with that, but we've seen a couple things. Jason told you the GIF is out there now on what appeared to be an obvious handball by Matt Beisler on the first free kick by Kevin Kratz. There was a rebound that fell out to Romario Williams. Beisler very clearly handball. I will say Atlanta United took the corner extremely quickly, so there may not have been enough time for the VAR to look at that. However, the Joseph Martinez goal that was disallowed in the sixth minute, there's been some confusion on the offside rule. And Jason has dug up the law, and hold on to your steering wheel if you're an Atlanta United fan.
Yeah, we're digging deep into the laws of the game, and this is one that's actually changed in recent years. In the last 4 or 5 years, it's been revised a bit. And you get into Law 11, and you get into the section about gaining an advantage by being in that position. And you go to the third line underneath it where it says, a player in an offside position receiving the ball from an opponent who deliberately plays the ball, except from a deliberate save, is not considered to have gained an advantage. Therefore, you could look at that play with Joseph Martinez. And let's go back. Ezequiel Barco cutting across from left to right at the top of the box. He's trying to play a pass through to the other side to Tito Villalba. Jimmy Madronda lunges out, blocks that pass right to Joseph Martinez, who was in an offside position when the pass was made. However, if you read this section again, a player in an offside position receiving the ball from an opponent who deliberately plays the ball, Madranda lunging to block a pass to an on-rushing Tito Villalba, that player is not considered to have gained an advantage because Madranda intentionally, deliberately is the word used in the laws, played the ball. So I would like to hear if there is an explanation from the referee crew how they judged that decision from Madronda, that play from Madronda, to have not been deliberate, because I don't know how you explain it any other way.
A request has been made for a pool reporter to be granted access to interview Mark Geiger, the referee. I don't know the status of that request. If we get an explanation from the referee, we will pass it along to you before we sign off. Otherwise, I'm sure Andy Bunker and the crew will be keeping an eye on Twitter. They'll provide you with that explanation. That is very tough. The handball by Beasler, very tough. But again, I do think, like, let's not kill the ref here. We saw a conclusive still photo that the goal by Jerzo Fernandez was onside.
Yes.
We have seen a conclusive photo on that. They got that one right. I know there's been some complaining about that. And again, Jason and I are in agreement that it was a correct red card shown to Brad Guzan in the 33rd minute. And that really was the big play of the whole match.
It was. It changed everything. I mean, the crazy thing about that, and this is another tweak to the laws of the game, if that had happened inside the box, it's very likely that Guzan would not have been sent off. It would have been a penalty. But they've changed that in recent years to avoid the triple jeopardy type of situation where it's a penalty, it's a red card, and a suspension on a player for the same play. But it was outside the box and judged to have been the last man, I think correctly, because Leandro Gonzalez Pires was even, what, maybe 5 to 8 yards away to the right side of where the play happened. You could easily say he was not in a position to stop that attack. So I think it was the correct call, the red on Guzan. The handball in the box, a little bit of a bang-bang play, but Beasler's arm is up and the ball comes off of it and away from goal. That would not have been a surprising penalty kick. I don't know about a red card there. I don't know how intentional it was on Beasler. And then the Martinez one, which would have changed everything.
Right.
Because that was what happened first. There's pretty strong case that can be made for that being an incorrect application of the rules.
Trying to remember back, was it the LAFC match where there was the red card right at the end for a handball in the penalty area? Was it LAFC or was it one of the other home matches? I know it was here. I feel like it was LAFC. It has to have been the LAFC match, and I forget who did it. Looking at just the GIF, which is kind of a slow-motion replay, it sure looked like Beasler's arm was in an unnatural position.
Yeah.
But there again, judgment call by the referee, Mark Geiger, and clearly no one saw it. Atlanta United took the corner very, very quickly. No time for VAR. Let's go through the highlights of the scoring summary. And as we've been telling you, Atlanta United had almost no chance to get a win after what happened in the 33rd minute. They had chances to maybe extract a result, but a win would have been very difficult when you have your goalkeeper red carded. Now here's Crise playing it up the middle. Guzan comes off his line and fouls Shelton right on the edge of the 18, and Guzan is red carded. Denial of a goal-scoring opportunity, a dog show is the acronym, and again, we believe that was the correct call. So Guzan red carded. Tito Villalba has to be subbed out, so Tata can sub a new goalkeeper in, and it's rookie Paul Christensen, who was in the 18 on an emergency waiver because Alec Kahn is out injured. Guzan will also be suspended for the Orlando match. Atlanta United was able to hold on for the final 12 minutes of the first half and get to the clubhouse scoreless in halftime. Then in the second half, SKC finally broke through for the first goal of the match. It was a beautiful one, a golazo by Daniel Shalloway. Garza takes the lane from him, sweeps it up the far touchline, but SKC is able to keep it going. They dribble down the middle with Ilier. Ilier plays it over to the left side for Shalloway, who shoots and scores. Beautiful goal by Shalloway, and it was 1-0 SKC in the 67th minute. But it felt like the goal maybe opened the match up a little bit in favor of Atlanta United. And then suddenly, a couple free kick opportunities in dangerous spots. Kevin Kratz subbed onto the pitch. He had two really good free kicks. Both times, Tim Melia made the save for SKC. This was the first one. 22 yards away from goal. Here's Kratz going for goal, and it's saved by Melia. A rebound, Williams, saved off the line. Corner kick. What a save by Melia. What a save. And that clear off the line by Matt Beisler was handball. We've seen conclusive replays of that. Atlanta United took the corner kick very, very quickly. I think that's very significant because VAR, they can't stop the match. So if Atlanta United were to stall a little bit, give VAR a chance, to the VAR referee, to look at it, who knows?
We'd have to go back and see how quickly that was taken. Everything was so bang-bang at that point in the match. I'm not sure it was that quick, but we don't know if there was any conversation on that one.
Put it to you this way. Us two calling it live, and we're on the end of the pitch where it happened. I didn't see it live.
No, I didn't see it live either.
So,
but that's why you have video assistant referee, because they're supposed to see those things that we don't.
Correct. And that would fall under the guise of a clear and obvious error by the referee. A few minutes later, though, again with Atlanta United still trailing 1-0, another chance for Kratz on a free kick. This is our hot play of the match, brought to you by Scana. Kratz goes for a goal. Saved again, Melia. Williams is right there on the doorstep. He's punched off the ball, no whistle. And it would be cleared out to the wing, and eventually Atlanta United would be unable to generate anything further on that opportunity. And then a few minutes later, in the 87th minute, Jerzo Fernandez on a long breakaway caps off the 2-0 win for Sporting Kansas City. Well, but not here. They send a long ball to Fernandez, who's onside coming down the middle on a breakaway. Fernandez beats Christensen, shoots, and scores. And that will do it. And 2-0, the final score, Sporting Kansas City. Again, 7-2-2, 23 points. They now lead the Supporter Shield table. Atlanta United 1 point behind, 22 points, as they fall to 7-2-1. Atlanta United does still have the game in hand on SKC. One more appeal for your questions and your feedback. Some non-officiating questions we'll take whatever. Again, tweet at us at MikeConti929, at Longshoe, and at ATLSoccer929. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Well, this year, four clean sheets for Atlanta United, so their donation total is currently, three clean sheets for Atlanta United. Their donation total is $6,000. We'll take your questions right after this. Sporting Kansas City with a 2-0 win over Atlanta United on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Taking a look back at our Atlanta United game.
The full-time report.
With Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, let's get back into it with Atlanta United taking a 2-0 defeat tonight to Sporting Kansas City. Atlanta United playing down a man for the final 60 minutes of the match after Brad Guzan was red carded in the 33rd minute, and SKC were able to break through for two goals in the final 23 minutes of the match. We're going to get to your questions on Twitter in just a moment. We have been told a pool reporter has been allowed to ask Mark Geiger about his ruling on the overturned Joseph Martinez goal. Jason has given you the law. It is appearing to be a more controversial call the more that we look at the law as far as why Joseph Martinez was called offside. I don't believe the pool reporter will be asking about the apparent handball on Beisler off a rebound on a Kevin Kratz free kick late in the match. If we get the explanation before we get off the air, we will give it to you. Otherwise, Andy Bunker, I think, is planning to talk to Jason as soon as we get more clarity after we are done with the full-time report. All right. Let's get to some of the reaction on Twitter. I know there are a lot of questions about the rulings. We'll get to some of that. However, this one from at ATM, it's a good handle. Being down a man, we knew those goals were coming. They had a chance to slip through for them and had to know that one was going to go in. We'll bounce back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's frustrating because of the decisions that the referee crew made. And we can sit here and go on and on about those all night. You can't let that just cloud your judgment here. There's a lot to take away for me from a positive. I liked how Atlanta played a man down. They didn't just go into a shell and turtle up and just sit back. They tried to pick their spots to go forward. Even after giving up the opening goal, they really went for the game. I love the attitude this team played with. It's frustrating because you can look at these calls and say, ah, the referee was out to get us and all this. Look, Mark Geiger was at the last World Cup. He's going to the next one. He does know what he's doing. He just seems to be constantly in these types of situations that are controversial and do, you know, just make you question what's going on. I don't think Mark Geiger has any kind of a grudge against Atlanta, which is one thing I've seen. Atlanta United is 2-2 in matches that he has refereed, not 0-4. It's 2-2. It's been pretty even. It's a frustrating night. There's a lot you can take out of it. There's also a lot you can throw in the trash because you played with a man down for a long time. You've got a big match on Sunday that you have to turn your focus to.
That is so true. I mean, no sense in it. The last thing you want to do is lose this match twice. Lose it tonight,
exactly.
Lose it on Sunday. We'll get to that later. At Not Tony Jabroni, thoughts on the goals on Christensen. Second goal was understandable with the break. He says possibly offside. Again, we have seen a conclusive still photo that he was on. He wonders, though, if Guzan could have gotten a piece of the first one because Christensen, to him, looked a little flat-footed. That looked like a golazo to
me
by Shallowy.
I don't think anybody's getting to the first one just because it's also coming through traffic. You know, Shallowy had Salzizo right there on him challenging that shot. I don't think Christensen got a clean look, and that might have been why he looked a little flat-footed. I think Brad Guzan would have been in pretty much the same situation. Guzan's a little bit taller, a little bit, you know, longer reach, so maybe because of that. But Christensen, for his first match at this level, I thought he was solid, and I thought he did well, made one really big save. Distribution was a little lacking, but that's to be expected in his situation.
And now remember, Christensen probably in line to start in Orlando. Don't want to say that declaratively because we don't know about Alec Cann's status. Mitch Hildebrand is
back training.
Back training, so he might be a possibility. They cannot, we don't think, bring up Corot because of an international issue.
You get tricky with international slots. That's why Christensen got the call up in this emergency situation. One thing to keep in mind in terms of that is this was the second emergency call-up for Paul Christensen. You get four, period. So that also includes Open Cup matches and other stuff. So you're running out of international or emergency spots for Christensen. That's something to keep in mind. But the international slot issue is the issue with Corot. You don't have another goalkeeper that would fall into this. So
right. It's
a little bit of an odd situation Atlanta United's in right now.
And I don't think there's any way Atlanta United appeals the red card. And remember,
no.
A team can even be fined if they make a frivolous appeal.
Yeah.
On a red
and you
card.
Get a limited number of appeals.
Exactly.
So
this would not be an occasion to do it. Guzan is not going to play Sunday in Orlando. I think we should just accept that. John Sosby, our buddy, says, just couldn't get it past Melia tonight. Absolutely right. Some good opportunities, but a lot of losing possession in the middle third.
Yeah, and that's where I think the man advantage was the problem. I mean, before the red card, Atlanta was in control of the possession, in control of the shots, and that changed after the red card, obviously. So I think the second half, we talked about it at halftime, getting Almiron and Barco a little better connected. I thought that happened in the second half, and they were starting to play off of each other very well. So you're just shorthanded going against, you know, a line of four, sometimes with five when Ilya would drop in. So it was just very difficult to break it down.
Carlos says in the 4-2-3-1, it needs work when Atlanta United loses the ball.
See, I don't think that's the case because when you go back to the way the match was playing out before the red, which is really the only way you can judge the 4-2-3-1, it's a pretty even game. It was pretty even. Atlanta had the possession. Kansas City didn't have a shot on goal. They had a little flurry really before the red card. Atlanta had the better of the play before that. it was a very even game to me up until that point.
Frequent tweeter, Ricky Ricardo, wants to know the status of Cann and Hildebrand. We kind of got into it a little bit. It says he liked the way Christensen stepped up, but he'd like to see more experience going into Orlando. And again, just to recap, Hildebrand's training, not sure. If you don't know who Hildebrand is, by the way, remember when FC Cincinnati made that magical run through U.S. Open Cup last year?
Yes.
That was their keeper. So he does have a lot of experience.
Yeah, it's timely, too, with the U.S. Open Cup first round kicking off tonight. There was one game to keep an eye on because the next match they go to Charleston. South Georgia Tormenta from down in Statesboro. They went on the road and won 2-1 against the Myrtle Beach Mutiny. They go to Charleston in the next match. It would not be surprising at all if the winner of that one is who Atlanta United draws at the beginning of June.
Brandon Caldwell tweets at us, I know we wanted to win the match, but did we miss an opportunity to rest Martinez and Miggy when Atlanta United went down to 10 men? And the impetus of this question, obviously, Atlanta United has to turn around and play on Sunday. Martinez did come out at the 75-minute mark.
Yeah, Martinez came off. Martinez was fine. Miguel put in a lot of work tonight. He was really trying to carry this team back into it. He could have been the man of the match, I think, according to some. You wonder about it, but this is the first time the team has played in midweek this season. You had a six-week preseason to be ready for these types of things. I don't think there's a fitness issue with Miguel Almiron. They're going to take it fairly easy between now and Sunday. I think he'll be ready to go.
And in reality, you're not in awful shape fitness-wise as far as the runouts tonight. Gressel didn't play at all.
Right.
DeJalba only played 33 minutes. Then he had to be subbed out. They'll be fresh. Escobar did not play tonight. Don't know if he can play on Sunday, but he didn't play. McCann did not play tonight. Don't know his status for Sunday, but he would be theoretically available. It's not the worst thing in the world. Barco's got fresh legs, obviously. You don't have to worry about him. Almiron would be the one question mark. It will be very, very warm and humid in Orlando Sunday night, and thunderstorms are in the forecast. Gustavo Rodriguez, can't forget about him on the full-time
Hola,
report.
Gustavo.
Says it was a logical score with 10 men. With 11, Atlanta United would win, at least in the game exchange. But two things are conclusive. It's way better to grant a goal than getting sent off, and it's way better in MLS, he says in MLS it's nearly impossible to win with 10 men.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult when the match is even when you go down to 10. You know, if you have a lead and you go to 10, it's a little bit easier to just defend as Atlanta did in Minnesota. I'd like to see that whole play again because Michael Parkhurst was a step just out of position, and I don't know if he misread the pass from Crozet or what happened exactly, but he was in a bad spot, and Brad Guzan had to come off his line.
Paraphrasing a quote from Brad Guzan down in the clubhouse, he says he felt the timing of the play was thrown off because he wasn't exactly sure what Parkhurst was going to do there. That's paraphrasing. That's not the direct quote, but that's paraphrasing. One more from at EG Million. Tough loss, still some positives. Christensen dealt with that tough situation well. Good chances in the second half, in spite of our link-ups being a little off. Kratz. Defense played well overall. Sunday will be tough without Guzan, though.
Yeah, it will. I mean, you signed Brad Guzan because of what he brings in big games, and this is a big game on Sunday. It's a bigger game for me for Orlando. It's a little bit bigger game for Atlanta now after dropping points here. You do want to win your home matches and then get your draws on the road, and that puts you in a good spot in the playoffs. So these are some points that you have to go find. And you've had some success on the road, but this is the rival too, and this is a team that in Orlando is trying to stand up tall in the Eastern Conference and show that, hey, we're one of the big boys now. They haven't beaten any of the big boys yet. This is their first chance to do it. They have a really tough run coming up with Chicago, with Toronto, with NYC. They're on a hot streak, and there's going to be a lot of emotion on the field on Sunday.
This is not a Twitter question. It's a question from at Mike Conti 929.
Oh, I know that
Longshoe. Did this validate the West tonight?
No, I don't think so. I think you have to look at it just a little bit incomplete because of the red card. I think prior to the red, it was an even match. And, you know, I've thought that Kansas City was capable of being on level terms with Atlanta United, with NYC, with Toronto. We didn't get to see it play out, though. So I'd grade it as an incomplete. I think Kansas City with Felipe Gutierrez is a title contender. Mm-hmm. I think without him, they're lacking a little bit. I don't think Johan Kruse is the guy. I think he's solid, but he's not a transformative figure for this team. Gutierrez is. And if they get Gutierrez, keep everyone else healthy, and continue to build, they're a team that could do damage in MLS Cup at the end of the year. But we have to see how everything comes together because there's still a long way to go.
Toronto lost again tonight, by the way, to Seattle at home.
Toronto. I think it's getting in their head now.
Yeah, and Altidore out for at least a month. And they're starting to run out of time. I mean, there's still three quarters of the season left, but they are way, way, way out of the top two in the East right now.
That's where Orlando continuing to get results. That's where New England finding results. That's where it gets really interesting. I mean, Toronto's a team that if they have to go on the road in the knockout round, they can still win that match.
But it's not a spot you want to be in.
You don't want to be there, but you can do it if you have to. And this is a Toronto team that's still going to have a lot of confidence.
Well, everything is obviously better when Atlanta United wins. To date, a total of, let's see, $7,000 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. All right, when we come back, we'll look ahead to that match Sunday night in Orlando. The complexion of that game is a lot different now with Atlanta United giving up points here at home tonight, losing 2-0 to Sporting Kansas City. And we'll wrap up the full-time report right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A complete recap of today's game, this is the Full-Time Report.
Here's the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Atlanta United taking a 2-0 loss to Sporting Kansas City tonight, playing down a man for the final 60 minutes after Brad Guzan was red carded in the 33rd minute. Just to bring you quickly up to date, Columbus beat Philadelphia tonight 1-0. Seattle won at Toronto 2-1. Chicago Fire got a late goal to get a 1-0 win over Montreal Impact. And LAFC has an early 1-0 lead on Minnesota United. Atlanta United 1 point behind Kansas City now for the Supporters Shield lead. Atlanta United does have a game in hand. That will come Sunday. SKC does not play again until next weekend when they are at Minnesota. NYC, which is also in the discussion right now, they're behind Atlanta United. They will play after the Five Stripes Sunday night at LAFC. It'll be a big Sunday in MLS. The pool reporter has gotten a response from Mark Geiger about the overturned Joseph Martinez goal.
Yeah, we're assuming this was from Mark Geiger. There's a process the way this whole thing is handled. A letter or a question has to be in writing, submitted to the referee crew at a certain time after the match. They can answer it if they want. They don't have to. The written response back says, the SKC defender reacted by planting his foot on the ground in an attempt to block the ball. The ball hit him, deflecting to the Atlanta player in the offside position. That is the explanation as to why it was not deliberate. Remember, the rule was changed in recent years to say a player in an offside position receiving the ball from an opponent who deliberately plays the ball is not considered to have gained an advantage. According to the referee crew, the defender planted his foot on the ground in an attempt to block the ball, not deliberately playing it. That's a cop-out. There's just no other way to explain it. That's a cop-out. It was poor judgment, in my opinion, on that. It was a deliberate attempt to block the pass from Ezequiel Barco to Tito Villalba. And in that deliberate attempt to block it, it fell to Joseph Martinez, who scored.
And we've been talking about this a lot, but it was a very key point of the match because if Atlanta United goes up 1-0 and then has a red card, the complexion of playing down a man changes entirely as opposed to being in a scoreless match or maybe even down a goal as we saw in the second half. But, hey, look, can't dwell on it anymore. You got a big match coming up now Sunday night in Orlando against the Lions, who will be going for their sixth straight win. They did not play tonight. Orlando is right there, squarely in third in the East, nipping at the heels of NYC and Atlanta United. Jason Kreis and that team have really turned it around very, very quickly. And like we said earlier, you don't want Sporting Kansas City to beat you twice. So you've got to get over this quickly. You will not have Brad Guzan. He'll be suspended. But If you get 3 points on the road in Orlando, I think everyone will have a very short memory about what happened tonight.
Oh, exactly. I mean, these games happen. You get red cards. Things go against you. You have to deal with it. Atlanta United played well. They played well a man down. They created opportunities. Kevin Kratz put 2 free kicks on frame. Tim Melia made 2 outstanding saves. One, we've seen the replay. Matt Beisler swatted it away. Intentionally, unintentionally, his arm's in an unnatural position. That could have been a penalty. That could have made it 1-1. There's lots of could-haves here tonight. But the thing is, Atlanta United played like one of the best teams in the league, even though the result didn't go their way. You have to leave this one in the locker room tonight and go back to the training ground tomorrow. There's really not a ton of video to pull out of it to look at. There's some things in shorthanded situations that you can learn from and maybe tighten up on, but you have to get ready for a big emotional battle on Sunday because this is Orlando's season. This is a club in Orlando who has not been to the playoffs, a club in Orlando who came in with a lot of noise into this league. NYC's been to the playoffs, Orlando hasn't. Atlanta's been to the playoffs, Orlando hasn't. This is Orlando trying to become one of the best teams. They start that process by winning on Sunday at home. Atlanta United can ruin Orlando's run. The 6-game unbeaten run will be meaningless if Atlanta goes down there and gets the win, ends it, and then Orlando has to pick themselves up to face Toronto and NYC and Chicago in their next 3.
Orlando has Atlanta United coming to their park twice this year. This will be the first of 2 occasions. Real quick, do you stay in the 4-2-3-1 or do you go back to the 3-5-2?
That's a tough one. I guess it's really going to depend on who's fresh and who's ready to go because Orlando plays a 4-2-3-1. I like to match that if it's me. And with Tito Villalba being pretty fresh going into this, I'd like to see him on the field. I think he's going to have to be a big figure here. And we know that he strikes fear in the hearts of Orlando players and fans everywhere.
Had the goal of the year last year against the Lions.
And had the goal that punched them in the stomach here at Bobby Dodd as we close that one out.
Exactly right. Okay, so we'll be on the air at 5:30 Sunday afternoon from Orlando with the Five Stripes countdown kickoff at 6 o'clock and then the full-time report a full hour after the match. Sunday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Today's game produced by Jimmy Vance, on-site engineer Miller Pope, studio engineer Oren Romaine. For Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. The final score again tonight here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United taking a 2-0 defeat to Sporting Kansas City. We will see you Sunday evening from Central Florida on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.